CBS Sports Radio.
All right, back in the saddle again. 2 days this week. Sklar Brothers here. So happy to be with you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, guess what? Rocket can. So happy to be here. So much to talk about. I mean, Olympics full swing. I got to give the Olympics credit.
They're just coming on strong. Week
providing
two.
Us with so much material.
Something to watch every night at this moment when sports is thin normally.
And I also love the time change makes you say, like, am I watching something? And I watch on YouTube TV, but I'm like, am I watching something that happened 3 days ago
or did 30 this happen years ago
today? Or is it live? Is it tomorrow? I have no sense of time with these Olympics. Mm-hmm. None.
Yeah.
I'm like, did this happen in 2016? Is this Rio? I don't know anything. Is Ryan Lochte trashing a bathroom? I don't know. But there is so much to talk about with that. Tons of re-signings in the NBA yesterday.
And new signings and dudes new signings. Sign and trades.
Kyle Lowry.
On the Heat.
To the Heat. Does that turn up the Heat at all? Maybe they leapfrog Atlanta in the East with that move. So your big three is Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo,
Jimmy Butler,
and Jimmy
and D-Rob,
and Duncan Robinson with the, we'll get to Duncan in a second, but that's your big three.
America runs on Duncan
Robinson. So the question is, those big three, is that going to even put you in the same conversation with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden? That's if they can all stay healthy.
Who knows?
No.
I don't know.
It doesn't.
Pat Riley might not be done.
He might not be done, but Kyle Lowry is 35. To me, it made more sense. Kyle Lowry, if the Sixers could get rid of Ben Simmons, just say, hey, Ben, what's over there? And then just pick up Kyle Lowry.
Hey, Ben, a Kardashian. And then
boom,
just like
he's
let him run.
Gone. Just out. You just see the smoke outline of Ben Simmons and gone. Shoot your shot there. He'll shoot his shot there. He will actually take a shot there.
Yep.
But, you know, and then Kyle Lowry to me, so they need, and I don't even know if they leapfrog the 76ers. I don't know if this move does that, but he made a lot of money. Chris Paul, $120 million for 3 years.
At this point in his life.
3 or 4 years, maybe 4 years.
Unbelievable. He's going to retire a son. That's what he decided.
Years.
That's what he said, essentially.
Yeah, and it keeps that team together, and it keeps that big three. I got to sign on, extend DeAndre Ayton.
Yes.
DeAndre Ayton.
On DeAndre the Giant.
If I had a kid, I'd want to call him Andre DeAndre. So DeAndre Ayton, they got to re-sign him. And then a couple of other, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, III.
He stayed.
Maybe max contract, $207 million. I mean, he is what they're building OKC around.
Trae Young,
$207 million. That makes sense to me. $200 million for Trae Young and $7 million for the.
But not good enough for the U.S. men's Olympic team.
$7 million for the invisible magnet that controls his hair. So the money is getting thrown around. The NBA is fine. Money's getting tossed around.
We went into the wrong business, is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's just. You know, spoiler alert, everybody, spoiler alert. If you don't want to know the result of what we're about to tell you, spoiler alert. Last night it happened.
Late into the night.
U.S. men's basketball turned it on and beat Spain.
They beat Spain, and
Ricky Rubio had 38 points. Have you ever seen Ricky Rubio have 38 points? That's what the Timberwolves were like. We got Ricky Rubio. He's going to score 38 for us. Meanwhile,
he has like one creative pass every 6 weeks. And you're like,
that's what we got?
And then he looks like he runs a yoga studio.
Yeah, he always looks
like. There's a moment I'm like, is he wearing yoga shorts?
He's always coming. He looks like he's coming to or going, coming from.
Going to a hot
yoga class. I'm like, Ricky Rubio, stop rolling up your mat. You're playing right now.
You're in the game. You're barely in the game. And that's what happens on the national stage, on the Olympic stage.
A guy who has never scored 38 points probably in his life in a game drops 38 on the U.S. team. But the U.S. turned it on and they win that game, and now they play.
Kevin Durant finally playing like Kevin Durant.
Yep. He reversed. It's like watching M. Night Shyamalan's old in reverse.
He reversed it.
He became a young man again.
I'm Kevin Durant.
That's you are.
You know who I am. We do know who you are.
Well, now we do.
Remember when
got work to do.
Still got work.
You're going to play either Australia or.
Dude, I saw Luka, man. Woo! He is up on the second floor and doing damage.
Mm-hmm.
Or he lives on the first floor, right?
No, Luka lives on the second floor.
Oh, he lives on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad song. Anyway, he just it's like Luka Doncic suddenly just started. I know he's a great NBA player and he knows how to play as an NBA player, but like he started Euro stepping. He was like doing these fadeaways off the glass, like angles off the glass. It was so European. Mm-hmm. He was so European. I was surprised he wasn't playing in jeans.
My name is Luka.
That's how European I thought he was.
Yeah.
And so Slovenia is just destroying teams. So you're. The American
so Slovenia,
team,
Italy, and France
are in one
that's,
side.
That's on the other side. And now it's USA. We've moved forward.
Argentina
and Australia.
So I think we're going to play Australia. And that's not going to be easy.
No.
So Australia won. So you're going to play Australia. It's not going to be easy.
No.
And then if you beat Australia, you've got Luka waiting for you.
My name is Luka.
Mm-hmm. He's
get
up
ready.
On the second floor.
Get ready.
So we should be dominating, but both of those games scare me.
You're going to sweat them out.
I'm.
There's no way.
Another spoiler alert. Simone Biles comes back. So if you don't want to hear this, I'm letting you know. Trigger warning right now. She comes back, and she wins a bronze medal on the beam, which I think is... I have to say, I think is great that she came back and competed and competed on beam and really finished it out. And I watched Jade Carey win gold on the floor. And I'm telling you, Simone Biles stepping aside for her
made
own personal reasons
made room for the rest of her team. And for her to have literally the most awkward interview with her family afterwards.
That was the most awkward interview
so
I've
they
ever
were
seen.
Like, hi, it's so good to see you. How congratulations. And she's like, thanks. Like, so, you don't want to say anything. You are like a fresh, like teenager dealing with your mom. That's what you realized in that moment. Your mom pushes your buttons even when she says,
congratulations.
On the gold.
Like, yeah.
She can do everything your mom says triggers you. That's what you saw.
Jade Carey was like, it was like she was waiting for her mom to ask her what happened on the vault. Like, no,
why didn't you text me to tell me where you were?
Right.
So that's basically how she responded to her mom saying, we love you. We're so proud of you
for winning the gold.
In Jade Carey's mind, she heard, what time are you going to be home and who are you hanging out with?
That's it. That's what she heard.
That's what she heard.
That's how she reacted
She
to
was
it.
Like, fine, whatever. Fine. And then the announcer's like, so what is your process? She's like, oh, we're just going to take one day at a time. And like was so forthcoming and gave so much of a detailed, depthful answer. But when her mom said, we love you so much. We miss you. She was like, cool.
Great. Good. Like that was definitely carried over from some other argument.
That's another argument.
Because her dad is the coach on the floor, which I don't know if Nastia Lukin pointed that out ever, that her dad was the coach on the floor and what it's like
to
have your dad.
Yeah.
What it's like to have your dad. I mean, I wish they would have taken a moment at one point.
We had to do some research and figure that out.
I mean, I don't know. Like, who is this guy? I mean, why is he hugging her in a fatherly way? I wish somebody on the NBC broadcast would point out the fact that Jade Carey's dad is one of the coaches, because that's information that would have been useful to us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there, and then her mom, and I guess they had to explain, is with her partner in the watch party there. So something to me says that Jade Carey probably doesn't like the mom's partner.
Maybe.
Whatever. That's what I got. Thanks.
Thanks.
Anyway, Simone Biles opening the door for her, opening the door for Mikayla Skinner, who was not even, was like on her way home and gets a call. Hey,
We
need you to come back on the vault. And she gets a silver medal. She opens the door again for Suni Lee to win a gold medal
for the overall.
This, so
She took a lot of heat.
She took a lot of heat for stepping away, and she took a lot of heat. But look what she did for the U.S. team. And look what she did in terms of allowing other teammates to step forward.
And be stars.
To me, that is what being a team member is all about. I'm not gonna hate on Simone Biles. And the fact that she came back, and again, like we said, spoiler alert, the fact that she came back and, you know,
got the bronze on the beam
is just amazing to me. I think she's got like 7 medals now, which is tied for the most as an Olympic gymnast for the U.S. That's just amazing. That to me was really exciting, and that was cool. The U.S. women's soccer team are playing for, they're going to play for bronze. That's what they're playing. They are playing for a medal, so you got to give them some credit there. But the loss to Canada, oh, Canada. I mean,
that'd be like the United States beating Canada in having mayors that have done crack.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we did have
Marion Barry.
We did have Marion Barry.
But still.
There's no way Marion Barry did more crack than Rob Ford.
Yeah. Rob Ford put in on donuts from Tim Hortons.
May he rest in peace, Rob Ford.
May all of Sean. But so, no, but what I'm saying is.
We always said this about Rob Ford. Rob Ford was Canada. Big, white.
A lot of wide open spaces. Loved hockey.
A lot of unprotected areas.
A lot of refuges. Mm-hmm. So, but what I'm saying about
a lot of wetlands.
The women's national soccer team, the U.S. women's national team, the fact that they lost when they lost in this tournament, the fact that they are not playing for gold should make you upset.
Right. And
you should be upset. And I say that's okay to be upset with them. And they should be glad people are upset because it's a sign that they've arrived.
Yeah.
You are Alabama. You are Duke basketball.
You're Alabama, and you just lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah, you didn't even lose to Auburn.
That's who you lost to. Ole Miss, who hasn't beaten them in God knows how long.
You lost to that team.
That's right. You didn't lose to Brazil.
No. You didn't lose to China.
You didn't lose to Sweden.
Lose to Japan. So you didn't lose to Sweden. You did lose to Sweden. But that's they didn't play a great tournament. They didn't put a great tournament together here. The loss right out of the gates to Sweden, 3-0, getting owned. The fact that they played for a tie against Australia, who they now have to face again in the bronze medal round. We're disappointed. And I think that's as much a sign of their success that we're disappointed with where they ended up as them winning.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. You'd love to see them win. I want to see them win a gold medal, but we say to ourselves, they should be better than this.
They should be better than this. This is a disappointing outcome for them. Like, we're not talking. We watched the men's national soccer team beat Mexico and hoist hardware for the second time this summer.
That's right.
In the Copa America.
And I know. And look, we don't have to tell the Rome audience that the men's soccer team won.
You guys are all up on that.
You guys are way ahead of us on that. We know how much you guys like soccer. But the point is that the U.S. women's team was supposed to be, they were like, so here's the thing. And this is how they're different than the U.S. men's basketball team. Both teams that should have dominated. U.S. women's soccer team did not bring their A game. The U.S. men's basketball team did not bring their A team. That's the difference.
Yeah. You're missing key
both
dudes.
Both trying to win it. And I think, you know, if the men pull it off with who they have on that team,
I mean, you still have Kevin Durant, and you still have Devin Booker, and you still have Dame Lillard, and you have
Jason
dudes.
Tatum.
And Jason Tatum, who's finally stepping up and starting to play. You still have dudes on that team. And yes, they do. And they will, look, I'm not going to say they're going to win, but they
definitely can't say they're going to win.
They got to bring a good game. So this is the thing. The U.S. women's soccer team, it was like they thought, we'll just show up.
Roll the balls out. Thanks, Tom.
We'll just show up, roll the balls out, and we can take anyone on. And that's not how it works anymore.
No.
The world is caught up. You got to have a game plan. You got to play your best soccer if you want to win. That is Olympics, man. You got to bring it.
Did you watch the sprinting? I mean, the track stuff yesterday.
Hassan, like now, I love this woman, Hassan, from the Netherlands. Yeah. Like that she fell
in the 1500 meters,
and then came all the way back. Was that a semi? I think that was a semi.
And won.
And just won her heat.
Destroyed Fools.
So then I watched her in the 5,000, and she was like a little bit back, and then she started turning it on, and her strides were so beautiful. It was so beautiful to watch.
Because it's track is not something that if it's a Saturday, I'm like, let me see what's going on the track channel. Like, yeah, I'm not watching any track anytime.
It's literally something you only watch every 4 years.
And it is fascinating. I'm watching semifinal heats.
I love watching how much they pull back and try not to exert themselves in anything but
the finals. How much gas are they trying to save?
So if you see a person not pumping their arms hard and they're still winning by a few, you're like,
dude, this guy is amazing.
But the 400 men's hurdles was easily the most exciting.
Was the race of the entire
of the Olympics
thus far. And it's Karsten Warholm. Karsten Warholm.
Eric Wareheim.
Karsten,
and Tim Heidecker.
Right. Karsten Warholm from Norway, the Norwegian, and Rye Benjamin, the American. That's the whole race. It's fire and ice. Karsten Warholm is like a fiery dude.
He came out of the gates in a full sprint. It was like he was doing his final kick from the start of the race all the way to the end.
Is he running his last 100 in the first 100?
And Benjamin, you could see, was like, let me just run my race.
When my kick comes in,
I will catch up to him. And he kind of did.
But then Warholm just kicked it into a gear that I didn't even know existed.
Set a world record, and then it had the most awkward post-race.
Where he tried to pull his shirt open, and it got just...
He couldn't rip it fully. If you're going to rip your shirt all the way and not do the mime of the Superman thing, you got to make sure you get it all the way.
I would have loved to seen him do a discount double check. Because I don't even think they have that in Norway. Just like... State Farm discount double, like Norway's version of the championship belt.
He was definitely loud.
And Rye Benjamin was just, I'm like, you ran the wrong race, bro. You had to have known that this is what this guy's going to do. Number one. Number two, you should have two race plans in your brain. Am I right or wrong? You should have two.
What are you saving it for? Are you saving it for?
It's not the 800. It's the 400. Let me say this. He broke 46 seconds, Warholm.
That's to me as significant as when they broke 10 seconds in 100 meters.
He ran faster than 18 dudes who ran just the regular 400 with no hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
18 dudes at the Olympics. I'm not talking about just 18 guys running the 400. Mm-hmm. He ran faster with the hurdles than 18 guys at the Olympics ran the actual 400. I was listening to, because all I have, again, because we're not huge track guys who watch it all the time, I'm listening to the announcers who are former track stars themselves. I'm listening to them freak out over breaking 46 seconds. One guy said, the guy who was calling it was like, I was not expecting this record to be broken for decades. Mm-hmm. And then we saw it right there. Now, the cynical me said, someone check his urine.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know what,
because that guy just kicked in like another gear that you're
check
like,
his
how
urine.
Is
Remember
he?
When Ben Johnson just like dusted everybody and I was like, let him pee in a cup.
Let's see what's going on.
Fill that cup up, bro. Uh-oh, something's going to happen. But I was like, let's just see. If he's fine, he's fine. I mean, this guy's a superstar. He is really, and he's flamboyant. I love how like.
He's loud. He was proud of himself.
Rye Benjamin pensive. I'm like, you ran the wrong race, Rye. Silver medal, congratulations. Amazing. And by the way, Rye Benjamin broke a record. He broke the record. He didn't obliterate the world record like Warholm did.
And here's the other thing. I think they're 24 and 25.
Yep.
23 and 24.
24 and 25. They're going to be around for the
next one. We're going to see him for the next Olympics.
And you could see him for the next one.
But you're definitely going to see him in the next Olympics.
Unbelievable.
That's a rivalry. So now you're into the hurdles. The 400 hurdles now has a rivalry.
Like, sprinters to me are like wide receivers, especially like once you get in there. Like, they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit crazy.
You got to be crazy, a little narcissistic.
They, everybody in their family is like, don't Don't tell them you're going to Claim Jumper restaurant, because that'll freak, like something happens, like something in their lives are like, don't bring a cat around him. You know what I mean? There's like weird things that you can't do around sprinters. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like not normal human beings.
Get your popcorn ready.
They're just amazing. It was an amazing, amazing thing to watch. Like it definitely felt like we were watching history.
Yeah,
with that.
We did it.
And the Olympics provided that. Oh, my God.
Lots more Olympic takes, more other takes out there.
We got guests today. John Jansen at the bottom of hour one. How about that? Brandon Flowers.
Hour two. Hour or top of hour three.
Top of hour two. And then Bill Shaken. Shaken and Bacon. We're going to talk MLB with him.
Lots to talk about.
Lots to get into. Odell Beckham's got a new grill. We may talk about that.
There's possum. Opossums.
Opossums or raccoons? What is it?
Raccoons out in Citi Field.
Raccoons in the outfield. It's the new Angels in the outfield out in Citi Field. Varmints.
We got varmints.
All that. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us all 3 hours. We promise you we're going to make you laugh.
Brother, every time I call you home, you are dancing. Sister, please don't put your children on initiation, 'cause there's no heaven.
Tim Maia.
Why am I playing the bass up by my
brother,
neck?
Brother, sister, mother, father. Oh, this dude. Come on. Soul. Oh, feels good on a Tuesday.
There's a dude who wears sunglasses who never takes them off. He's playing the bass by his neck.
I just love it. He's in his own world, Jay. Any tweets?
Yes. Our mom pushed the wrong button, signed Eric and Wilde.
Hang on a second.
Carl and Prescott.
Do you see, what's the basketball card where they're in the background?
It's Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, where like... the Menendez brothers are sitting courtside, and it's Mark Jackson. It's like a card that would be worth, like, I don't know, 6 cents, but now it's worth, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Maybe not that much.
I don't know.
All right. Like we said, saw a lot of great stuff over the weekend. I saw a lot of great Olympic stuff. I was knee-deep in all the Olympic stuff.
Yes.
You know, the track and field men's semifinal for the 800, where Isaiah Jewett was tripped, and the people are saying he wasn't tripped. I'm like, if he wasn't tripped, then why
did he go down?
No, they're saying he somebody
just
like,
tripped on himself.
He tripped on himself. He didn't. If he tripped on himself, the guy who tripped behind him would not have apologized. You know, you don't apologize for something that you didn't do. So he accidentally clipped him and he went down, and the show sportsmanship of those two guys to me is really what the Olympics is all about.
Correct.
And it shows you how important that is over everything else, because the truth is that guy's Olympics are over, and it's such a bummer. He made it to the semifinals, and he was actually making a move in that moment.
Amos, Isaiah Jewett. Jewett.
And so Nigel Amos, the fact that there was just such a beautiful moment between these two people.
Did Amos go to the finals? I think he advanced.
He did advance, which that was a little bit weird. I'm like, they should both advance. If you're going to do that, you should both advance. But that would have made someone else mad. But Jewett was clearly heartbroken at this thing, but he gets up, puts his arm around him, and walks off. It is a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And there were other moments like that. You know what I mean? Just, I say give Jewett an endorsement deal right now. Dayquil. When something unexpected knocks you down, do the right thing like I did in Tokyo. Dayquil. It's not going to knock you out.
No.
It's going to knock you down.
Knock you down.
And anyway, beautiful moment. But I think is it better than a gold medal? No. Is it better than a bronze medal? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
What he did. Like, he's a hero.
Like, a bronze medal becomes a coaster in your house.
At times.
Silver medal, you let people know.
Bronze medal is a paperweight. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another display of sportsmanship, Jay, that, and I'm not talking about Raven Sanders twerking after the shot put, which she started twerking and NBC cut away so fast. She put the shot.
Well, the twerk was at the intersection of a lot of people.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she twerked and they just were like, we got to get off this right now. I saw it and I was like, I had one comment. I said, that's so Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the high jump competition, Jay. Did you see the high jump competition?
Oh, my Lord. Yes.
Why in the world aren't we watching more high jump? That's what I kept saying as I'm watching the high jump. I'm like, I don't watch enough high jump.
I need to get into a high jump fantasy league.
Thank you. I would select Mutaz Barshim and Gianmarco Tamberi. I'd select
them. They put on a show, bro.
They did. They literally and figuratively kept raising the bar.
Yeah.
Barshim from Qatar was incredible.
Qatar, for those who don't want to pronounce it properly.
The way he approaches his runs are insane. And again, maybe
it's all superstition. First of all, he's wearing sunglasses.
He's wearing sunglasses, which every time he jumped, the sunglasses fly off.
So if you're not wearing Oakley wraparounds.
Or Kurt Rambis goggles.
Or those old Varnays that came around the side with like the leather shield on the sides to let no sunlight in, even though I think they were jumping at night. Like,
they weren't jumping at night. They're jumping during the day, but no one else is wearing sunglasses.
You don't need the sunglasses.
Like, nobody even on the sidelines is wearing
unless
sunglasses.
Unless they're goggles. Unless they're like...
But how are they helping you jump? How is what is your eyewear helping you get higher?
Glare. He doesn't want to get his eyes in the sun, and he doesn't want to... Close your eyes. Once you get up in the air, close your eyes.
No one else is having this problem. Tamberi wasn't wearing sunglasses. I just don't understand. It's superstition. So then the way Barshim enters the thing.
More superstition.
He tiptoes like he's not supposed to be there. Like he and his friends are sneaking onto a golf course late at night to get drunk. Mm-hmm. Just tiptoeing like, am I supposed to be doing this?
Don't let anyone know
I'm about to jump in the high jump. Should I be here? Maybe I shouldn't. It was like so. He's being so coy. Tiptoes. Just tiny steps.
Then he starts high stepping.
Like he's Dion at his own 40. Prime time, high stepping. Right? Then he goes into the run that you're supposed to do. And I'm like, why didn't you do this from the beginning?
Right.
What do the first thing, again, like the sunglasses, what do the first two things do to get him into the run?
Superstition.
It's superstition. That's the way he's going to do it. And then he just leaps out of the building and it's amazing. Tamberi, on the other hand, totally different. Mm-hmm. Tamberi, the Italian guy who was described as flamboyant, which I'm like, what does that mean? And he's just a loud guy.
He's a very big personality.
He's like a tall Ricky Rubio, okay? He's got a man bun. He's Italian. He uses his hands a lot.
Gesticulations.
A lot of gesticulations. He starts, and he just rocks back and forth on his foot.
Like he's stuck in something.
You know, like you're watching like video that was poorly edited from the 1980s in a bad commercial and you're just in a loop and you can't get out of it. You know what I mean?
It's even like, Sergio Garcia was like, hey, stop
fidgeting.
Do it. Just go.
Just go already. I'm sexy and I know it. He does it like literally 100 times. And I'm like, is he going to start? At that moment, I missed the tiptoeing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, go, dude. Just please go. Then he takes off and he starts running. And I'm like, this guy doesn't look like he can make it to the bar. Mm-hmm. He's stumbling. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you see different body parts moving in different ways. He's anything but graceful.
Right.
Then he gets up to the bar and he
clears it.
Clears the bar.
Every time.
They keep moving it up. 2 meters, 35 centimeters. 2 meters, 37 centimeters they jump that. They get up to 2 meters, 39.
They both miss.
They both miss. And then you're like, well, what are they going to do? Someone, the announcer said,
it's a jump off. Normally.
It's a jump off.
That's like, what you go to is a like, jump off.
What is
it? Isn't all high jump a jump off?
Number one. Number two, I was like, is this going to be like, do they walk down a fashion runway? Is he going to show different sunglasses? What's happening? Is Barshim going to do that? Mm-hmm. No. And then Barshim says, well, can't we just split the gold? To which the judge, the guy who was the official on the side, was like, I don't know. I think you might be able to. Do we have that? All right, let's play this. Let's play this because this is amazing.
If you decide on the
champions. Okay.
So here's what just happened.
Right.
Men's high jump. We had a tie between Gianmarco Tamberi and Mutaz Barshim. Generally, the protocol calls for a jump off. But
jump
they decided
off.
On co-gold medalists.
Co-gold medalists.
Both taking gold. The Dessau the bronze. And that is a unique ending to one of the best high jump competitions in the history of world athletics.
So they both tie. And Tamberi
runs
nuts.
Around.
First of all, he jumps into Barshim's arms, which I'm like, don't hurt the guy. He is flamboyant, Jay.
And the other guy's very thin.
Very thin. So, and then he runs around the track and collapses in only, he collapses in a way like Maury Povich just told him that he is not the father.
Andrew, you are not the father.
That's what I kept hearing as he's literally falling down on the, he's dancing, he's crying, he's, that literally, that's what I heard every single time. It's like he just found, the DNA evidence just came in.
And he is not the father.
Tambari, you are not the father.
That, it was honestly more exciting than the actual high jump competition was their decision.
Their decision to do that, it was amazing. And it was an amazing moment that you just never see.
You wouldn't see that in any other sport, would you?
No, you wouldn't. All right, I want to take a break.
All right, let's take a break. Because we got John Jansen on the other
John
side of this break.
John Jansen, we're going to talk college sports on the other side
a
of
A guy
this.
Who loves bacon.
He loves bacon, and we're going to talk about it. Shall we do a sports update?
I think we should.
Throw to our buddy Andrew Bogish.
The Andrew Bogut of sports updaters.
I love it. And this is Amen Dunes. Enjoy it. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we are back. End of hour one. So much to talk about. Why aren't we watching more high jumping? I don't know. I'm now going to start watching more high jumping.
I'm ready. I'm telling you, I'm going in a high jumping fantasy league.
Okay, good. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch more high jumping. I'm really excited for the college football season, which is right around the corner. I didn't realize how much excitement I had. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we're both like huge college football fans, and he's like, I'll watch anything. And that is a perfect segue into our next guest. He's with us right now.
Chomping at the bit.
This guy, his enthusiasm is infectious. He played for the University of Michigan. He played for, I want to say, 10 or 11 years in the NFL. So he knows it from both sides. And now he's just a fantastic, does a great podcast called In the Trenches, does stuff on Sirius Radio. He's just amazing. He's our friend John Jansen, the Big 77. How are you, buddy?
Good afternoon. I guess it's good morning out by you guys, but it's great to hear your voice.
You too.
And how about it? Football is here. We're going to have live football to watch on Thursday night. I don't care if it's preseason.
Yep.
There will be bodies smashing into each other.
You love it.
Probably see a little blood. You'll have some sweat.
Yep.
There will
and
be blood.
If there's any tears, those guys will be cut right away.
That's right.
Or tears of joy. I mean, we all might be shedding a tear of joy just because it's back. There's all this like preamble and, you know, there's a crazy situation happening in Indianapolis right now. What are they going to do in terms of quarterback? And, you know, Nick Foles is getting up on the microphone like, hey, you know, I'm tired of playing with the third stringers in Chicago. I don't know if you remember me. Remember how we had that great run together?
Remember when I filled in for Carson Wentz?
So, like, there's that drama happening.
But we're here to talk to you about college football.
College football. We're on the precipice of fall camp starting.
You got high school juniors that are suddenly joining the league.
So talk to me about this, like the week before or as we start to enter into, I think it's going to happen over
at the end of this week.
End of this week, it all starts. What is the excitement level specifically for this season where you know there are going to be fans back there right now in college football?
Well, the excitement level is, it's really unmatched. It's like no other because at this time last year, was there going to be college football? Wasn't there going to be college football?
Know.
And we, you know, we thought that there was. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it was taken away and it was given back, and it was just absolute chaos. And right now, these kids, and as I sit here at Michigan football, they know come August 6th, they're going to report, and you know, a couple of days after that, they're going to get a chance to put the pads on.
Yep.
They're going to have an almost, and we all hope a full on regular season experience with fans, people running out of the tunnel, touching the banner, singing the victors, watching the band come in. I mean, everything should be back to 2019. And right now, the excitement level, as I watch some of these guys walk past my door, they just, it's almost hard to contain it. They're so excited about getting this season going.
And it's just, so that is one component of, you know, coaches try and sort of gin up that level amongst their players just to get them to quote unquote buy in. How big is that and how important is that? You're talking about in specifically at Michigan, and it's around the country and other places too. You've got a head coach who's on the hot seat of sorts with a brand new coaching staff, essentially. How important is it, especially for new coaches, to get everyone to be like, I'm all in.
Both
feet are in this thing.
Oh, it's, you know what, it is. It's important for the coach and for Jim Harbaugh to rally the troops in regards to the coaching staff. So when they go out there, they've got, you know, new coaches, young coaches, and Ron Bellamy and Mike Hart, who both know exactly what needs to happen at the University of Michigan. They played here. Mike Hart's been around the Big Ten. He's now back home. Ron Bellamy just won a state championship last year. Mm-hmm. Mike McDonald, the new defensive coordinator. All these guys are young, energetic guys. So it's Jim Harbaugh's job to make sure that he rallies those guys and gets them rolling. For the players, right, there's an amount of, you mentioned it, gin up in terms of mm-hmm. getting these guys hyped and getting them ready. But it's really up to the juniors and seniors. It's up to the upperclassmen. Yep. This is for Aiden Hutchinson, who's a legacy here. Mm-hmm. He's going to be, chances are he's going to be an All-American. He's going to be a high draft pick in next year's NFL draft. It's up to him to make sure all the hay is in the barn. All the work has been done. And when the guys report on the 6th that they are primed and ready to go, and you've got to have that leadership from your players. That's where you look and you say, okay, why has Alabama or Clemson been so good?
Right.
It's because they have veteran leaderships, juniors and seniors. Yeah, they have your spectacular freshman that comes in and lights the world on fire, but the reason that the wheel keeps turning is because they have guys that know how it's supposed to be done, mm-hmm. and they go out there and they make sure that their peers are getting it done.
Are you excited about the fact that there will be an expansion of the college football playoff? More teams will get a taste of that. And with NIL, there's a chance that there will be a little more parity going on in college football. Are you seeing that, or are you skeptical of that?
I'm a little bit skeptical of what NIL will do. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen Nick Saban has talked about his quarterback who has yet to start a game.
He's making millions of dollars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy. But that's a brand that they've built up, It's where they are. But in regards to the college football playoffs, I think it's awesome. I mean, the Pac-12 has been left out in the cold for 3-4 years.
Yeah,
you can't eliminate half of the country and half of the fan base simply because they haven't played well enough to get into the limited number of teams that are allowed in the playoffs.
That's
now, those
right.
are the rules. And you're not going to hear a lot of people complain about it, but when it does go to 12 teams, now you're going to have a representative from every conference. You're probably going to have two from some of the major conferences in terms of the SEC, yeah. the Big Ten,
sure.
maybe the ACC or Pac-12, but you have a seat at the table. Everybody's involved, and it doesn't mean that just because they're there, they're going to win it. That's ridiculous, but you've got to be able to include the fan base. And I don't know if you guys were there, but a couple of years ago when the national championship game was up in San Francisco at Levi Stadium,
yep.
it was a great setting, but everybody was imported. There were some local people there, but
that's
it was
right.
Alabama fans, Clemson fans.
That's right.
And there was nobody from Pac-12 country that really gave a damn about that game.
And when there are the local people there, it just makes all the difference in the world. What do you think about where the conferences are heading, this potential, you know,
super
obviously,
conferences.
So Texas
and OU
and Oklahoma head to, which I completely understand from a financial aspect, from the teams in the SEC wanting to grab those markets and whatnot. I don't fully understand it from Texas, from a fan's perspective.
So Texas, you want to go from 7-5 to 5-7 now?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing, bro?
So I don't fully understand what their fans are going to get out of it. But I mean, is this the beginning of like a super conference? Like, could the Big Ten just swallow up
the Pac-12?
Yeah, like the Oregon and Washington and UCLA and USC and swallow that up, and then the Big 12 maybe grabs Utah and Colorado. Are we going to start to see those sorts of realignments?
Well, I think you're going to end up with two major conferences. One's going to be the SEC. The other one likely will be the Big Ten. as long as Kevin Warren finds the phone and figures out what's going on. But you're probably going to see the SEC, now that they do have Texas and Oklahoma, there's going to be a few other schools that they'll add. I know in the last couple of days there was rumor that maybe Florida State out of the ACC and Clemson had inquired about going to the SEC.
Wow.
The Big Ten, because the Big Ten has had such a great relationship with the Pac-12,
yep,
there should be a conversation that says, you know what, for the survival of our schools, of our constituents, we need to join forces. And, yeah, there's going to be a few schools that are left out, but you've got to have your USC, your UCLA, your Oregon, your Washington, get into the middle of the country with Colorado. You can have a rivalry with Nebraska, who's
that's
there.
Right. That's
maybe
right.
And Arizona State. And as it, when
Stanford.
You, I think when all the dust settles, you're looking at two conferences that are going to be between 18 and 20 teams.
20 teams,
and
yep.
That's going to be your that's going to determine what goes on in college football. Is it good for college football?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But I don't know that matters.
We can't stop the train from the train has left the station, and so it's either like now it's
get
like,
on the train,
get on the train,
or watch it go by.
I do agree with you that there is this relationship between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten that has existed for a long time.
Championship game could be at the Rose Bowl.
Play the championship game at the Rose Bowl. It's like the old call it the Rose Bowl championship game. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it, there is that history, and you can sort of go back to that. But to me, I think you start to add those teams, and I'm sure you'd add Cal and I'm sure you add Stanford. You know, there's like an academic level of excellence that a lot of these schools have as well, that I know the Big Ten is really concerned with that as well. And it'd be like a north-south thing, which again, well, the landscape is going to change. It's amazing how quickly it's happening, I guess.
All right, last question. We got 30 seconds. Jansen, give us your prediction for the Big Ten this year. Obviously, Ohio State will probably be there, but can Michigan surprise people this year?
Yeah, Michigan certainly can. They can surprise people, and in their division, it's going to be, and it shouldn't be a surprise. They should beat Penn State. They should beat Indiana. They should beat Michigan State, and it all leads up to the game at the end of the year, and this has got to be the year that Michigan takes the bull by the horn. They castrate that bull, and they say, no more. We are beating Ohio State. It has to happen.
All right.
Jansen ready to run through a wall.
In the trenches. We love you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show. On the other side of the break, Brandon Flowers is going to talk some NFL. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. What a treat to be here today. Stay with us for the last 2 hours. Cannot wait. Great stuff abounding.